Open your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you and cast you out for my namesake said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for her joy with her, and all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, and ye shall be borne upon her knees and dandled, upon her sides and dandled, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send to those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pool, and Lud, that draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters, and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. As for the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, the Lord has pressed to us the efficacy of his word this day, has he not? So now we have this reading in Isaiah chapter 66. Notice, first of all, the Lord proclaims that he is greater than heaven, greater than any house that could be built unto him, greater than any place that could be called the place of his rest. This is not anything new to Isaiah. Solomon proclaimed the same thing at the dedication of the house of the Lord. What did he say? Heaven, even heaven of heavens, cannot contain thee. Well, this is what the Lord says here. And so what is Isaiah reminding us of? Isaiah is reminding us of the greatness of our God. The expansiveness, what in theology we call the immensity of God. That God fills up all space and beyond. That he is omnipresent, immense, everywhere, and yet not the same thing as his creation. Right? That he's different. That he exists apart from the creation, and yet after he creates the creation, he inhabits it all. This is the first thing we learn about him. But notice also that the Lord condescends. This is the wonderful thing that true and proper theology teaches us. It teaches us about the transcendence of God, and it teaches us about the immanence of God. And so in the beginning here, we speak of the transcendence of God, and then notice that the Lord is immanent, such as that he will commune with one who trembles at his word. Well, to our mode of thinking, to our creaturely mode of thinking, it's difficult to sort all that out. He's greater than the greatness of the creation, beyond it, and yet he communes with one who is weak and trembling at his word. But that is indeed how God has revealed himself. It is not then with the strong, the professed strong, that need no help, that God communes. Rather, it is with the one who trembles at his word. The one who is of a humble and contrite spirit. Humble, you know what humble means, contrite. One who grieves and is sorrowful for his sin. Contrite. The one who is of a humble and contrite spirit, who trembleth at my word. I will look to him. I won't look to those temples that you've made me, but I'll look to him, the Lord says. What a comforting word. And so the Lord once again has magnified his word above all his name, hasn't he? He set his word before us as that by which we commune with him. If we tremble at his word, we tremble before him. And if we refuse to tremble before his word, we do not tremble before him. This is how we commune with God, by means of his word. Now notice, verse 3. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. That is, if you do all those things apart from trembling at his word. That's the contrast we're supposed to see here. What Isaiah is telling us is that this kind of humility and contrition, those are the prerequisites of the Lord receiving us. Those are the marks of His grace upon us. Those are the marks of Jesus Christ upon us if we are humble and contrite and tremble at His word. And if we attempt to approach God apart from such trembling and apart from such humiliation and apart from such contrition, it is as if we have slain a man, broken a dog's neck, offered swine's blood, and offered incense unto an idol. There are no religious services holy enough to cure you of your pride, to override the guilt that you incur. No, we come humbly and contritely. We come in Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. And then the Lord says, I will look to that man. But to the one who offers half-hearted service unto the Lord, the one, like it says in Zephaniah chapter 1, who in the morning they go worship at Yahweh place, Jehovah place, and then in the afternoon they worship at Malcolm place. You know, because they're broad-minded. The Lord says to them, I won't look to you. I won't look to you. So that's what verse 3 is about. Verse 3 is taken to be understood directly in contrast to verse 2. And so the Lord says to them, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Where is their trembling? Where is their respect? Where is their reverence? It's in their own ways. I also will choose their delusions. I will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Notice, it's their fault. We can't say, oh, well, you know, the Spirit didn't move me to do that. I just didn't get enough grace. That's not how it works in Scripture. No, those evil deeds are ours. We must own them and repent of them. All right, so then the Lord turns to those who do tremble at His word after verses 3 and 4 in verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word, your brethren that hated you and cast you out for my name's sake and said, let the Lord be magnified or glorified, but He shall appear to your joy and they shall be ashamed. Isn't that interesting? How that those who were trembling at the word of God, those who were worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, those who were humble and contrite before the Lord, how did their brethren treat them? With contempt. With contempt. And they justified themselves in doing so, saying, the Lord be magnified. And so that was what? They added blasphemy to their contempt of God's people. And what does the Lord say? He says, I will appear to their shame. I'll put things right. We don't need to worry about whether or not the Lord will vindicate those humble ones who tremble at His word. He promises that He will. We don't know when, and we don't know the work that God will do in the meantime while we are suffering for our profession of faith. But every stroke, every difficulty, every affliction is what the Lord has deemed that we need for our sanctification and final salvation. So we must not quibble then with that. We must recognize what the Apostle Paul said, yea, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay, so now the Lord is going to show that the way He works is not what you would expect. It's otherworldly. Notice what it says. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in a day, or a nation shall be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now, here's what 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 mean. The Lord is going to bring blessing to His people. And when it comes, it's going to come so quickly that if you're not paying attention, it's going to run right by you. How many people were there in Jerusalem and in Judea in the time of Christ, and they, quote unquote, did not know the day of their visitation, and it ran right by them? It's like the old guy said, right? There's three kinds of people. There's people to whom things happen, people that make things happen, and then there's the people that say, what happened? Right? Messiah came and he preached peace. And he preached the kingdom of God. And he preached repentance and faith. And they didn't see it. And it came so quickly, the world overturned right before their eyes. And they didn't see it. The Lord is saying, you must be ready for my working. You must know the days and the signs of the times. When I do my work, my curious work, it will come in such a way that if you're not ready, it will pass you by. But oh, if you are ready, what will you see? And the rest of the chapter kind of opens that up. What will you see? You will see Jerusalem, and now we're talking about the Jerusalem of Messiah's day, the heavenly Jerusalem, not a city in Palestine, but the heavenly Jerusalem. And she becomes a mother to the world. It's using a pretty homey example. The milk of her breasts will nourish many nations, and many shall come, and they will feed upon her, and they will... The way the Authorized Version says, they will milk out. They will be filled with her goodness. The Lord promises that out of Zion to all nations shall go forth this milk of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many shall be nourished from all over the world unto eternal life. Notice what he says, long about verse 19. I will set a sign among them, and I will send to those that escape of them to the nations, to Tarshish, Pool, Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal, to Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. This sounds like Acts chapter 1, doesn't it? You'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. This is maybe different concentric circles according to the ancient Near Eastern mindset. And so where do we go? We start going west over the Mediterranean Sea. And what do we have? Well, first we have Javan, Greece. Right? Then we have Tarshish. Right? And that's that land that's in between the Iberian Peninsula and the Italian Peninsula. That land there, along that coast there. And then going farther, you have the Iberian Peninsula. And then you have, what's the last? The islands. And what are the islands? That's that world beyond the Strait of Gibraltar that nobody knew and nobody charted. And so the Lord condescends to speak to them in geographical terms that they understand. And he's saying to them that Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, Messiah's Jerusalem that he will erect, that it will indeed be that light to the Gentiles, the salvation to the ends of the earth, like we read back in chapter 49. And that the milk of her consolations and the comfort of Jerusalem and the gospel itself will go forth to the ends of the world. And where will they come? They will come to Jerusalem. That is, they will come to the heavenly Jerusalem. It will not be a part from that church of Jesus Christ. It'll be indeed with that church. Now notice also that not all will come. Verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and to rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. What will they look like? They sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, the abomination of the mouse, and they shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. So there will also be that word that goes out, and it's exactly like the Apostle Paul will tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, we are a sweet savor of Christ in every place. Every place. The preaching of the gospel, no matter where we go. And where had Paul gone? Over the known world of that day. And we are that sweet savor of Christ in every place. To the one, we are a savor of life unto life. And to the other, we are a savor of death unto death. Right? Alright, so then we come to the end of the chapter. For as the new heavens, and I will take of them That is, those who come from all nations all over the world to my holy mountain Jerusalem, I will take also of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. In other words, the Gentiles will be one with the Jews in this manifestation of Zion that we look at here in Isaiah 66. So the chapter ends then, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, so shall your seed and your name remain." And so this worship of the Lord will continue until the end of days. And there will be always those until Christ returns that, well, we will look upon them and we will see that they are yet in their sins. And so they indeed also must learn Christ to be saved. Well, there's a lot more there in Isaiah 66, but we're past time. So let's close that up and let's stand and continue.